to the Boulder City Podcast. Our guest today is Sherry Jorgensen, the new city councilwoman who was elected in April. So, Sherry, thanks for joining us and congratulations on your election.
Thank you, Roger. I appreciate your having done the podcast initially and getting that information out, and I appreciate your doing it this time.
Great. So you've now sat through two city council meetings since being elected. How does it feel to take a part in the city's business this way?
Well, actually, as you know, I was elected back in April, but not actually put in until July. So right. For me, it's kind of been a waiting game. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of now to actually be doing instead of just waiting.
Sure.
And I'm excited. I love this city. Boulder City's an awesome place to live. And as I said, I wanted to serve the community. And it was definitely a learning curve, but I'm willing to do my due diligence. I've been, you know, doing my homework, practicing, if you want to call it that,
right,
for a couple months until I got there. So I'm actually really grateful to be started.
Well, you didn't have to get distracted by a runoff election like Matt did, so I guess you have a little advantage over him.
Well, in that, I could spend my time differently. Yes.
Right, absolutely. So you and Matt seemed to be welcomed warmly by the existing members of City Council and the mayor. Did they really make you feel welcome?
Absolutely. I personally felt very welcomed by the mayor, Claudia and James. Each of them invited myself to come in and talk to them before, answered any question. Also very impressed with the staff that we have. They've reached out, helped educate me, inform me on what's happening in the city. I just have felt them reaching out to help me be successful, and I'm so grateful for that.
Well, they've got to be a great resource for you. They're always there in good times and in bad, so they really get a feel of what's going on and how the city council really operates.
Absolutely, and they're generous with their time, which I appreciate, because like I said, this is a learning curve a little bit, right? You come
right.
in and you run for council, but there's all these departments, the utility department, the finance department, there's the airport, there's all these things that you have to look at as you create policy, and the staff, as you said, most often remains the most constant and really educated in their specific area. So it's such a great resource, and their generosity has been appreciated.
Great. So, you know, it seemed like the issue during the campaign, certainly during the primary and the runoff, was a slow growth ordinance. I mean, this has served the city very well for many years, and obviously you support it, Matt supports it. Are there any changes, however, you might consider if it meant building quality homes around the Boulder Creek Golf Course to make that a productive part of the community?
Well, I know I personally love the charm that it adds to our little city here. The slow growth has kept us a small city. It's kept us a quaint city, which has been nice. I believe the purpose behind it was that. And so I totally agree with more than 120 a year. I think it's healthy to grow. Please do not think I mean zero growth, because
right.
That's healthy either, because you can go backwards.
Sure.
And then you're on Route 66, and no one wants to be on Route 66.
That's right, yeah.
But we definitely don't want to be Henderson. When I was growing up, there's 30,000 there. Now there's hundreds of thousands.
Right.
So we definitely don't even want to go anywhere near that. The golf course is the next area that we're going to develop, and I don't believe that we have to make changes to our growth ordinance to be able to develop that. I think we can have both. I think we can have great homes on the golf course, quality homes, and still honor our ordinance as
sure.
it's written.
So you see that kind of being developed the way the storybook homes were developed, which are pretty quality homes in and of themselves, but they're developed on a staggered basis.
Absolutely, that's how it's going to have to happen. There's too many acres there to be able to do it all in 1 year, 2 years even. Probably the upside of that is at the end you have a beautiful product. The downside is for probably the people who buy in the first or second phase and are surrounded by construction
right,
for
yeah.
quite some. So yeah, but I still think it's totally possible to have both those.
Okay, great. So now that you're a council member, you have full access to the city financial structure and budget process. Is there anything that concerns you so far with any of this?
Actually, no. I've been so impressed with the past council's directive. I know that Mayor McManus has been very into transparency and making sure us as general everyday citizens until you get put in as a council member.
Yeah, right.
You know, and the processes that are going on at the city level. And I've been very impressed with the transparency in this area and the hard work that our finance department has put in to share with us as a community. You can go in, they put together 5 brochures, you can have hard copies of them explaining solar revenues, incoming revenues and how they get divided up and where they're going. They also have their entire budget process on bcnv.org. So in reviewing these documents, it was clear to me where our money was coming from, where it was going to, and that we have money left over, and they've put things in place that would keep us solvent and keep us doing well in the future.
Mm-hmm. Great, great. So Boulder City is also unique because it runs its own utilities, certainly the water and the electric. And there was a rate increase that was recently canceled by council. Do you agree with that decision?
Well, what they did is they decided to put the 3% back. Is that what you're talking
yes,
about?
Yes, uh-huh. Yeah.
Exactly. What I like is, again, they wanted to be transparent. So we had the utility committee that worked hard to identify the needs of Boulder City's aging infrastructure with the ability for us to keep our rates reasonable, brought in a study. And in that finding, that's what they found, that they could do that and lower it by 3%. I know that the utility fund's a standalone fund, and because of this, has to function within that fund.
Okay.
So it's so important for us to have the monies there to be able to replace the aging infrastructure, but also so important for us to keep the rates when possible at a rate that we can all enjoy. Let's talk about, you know, during the summer months, none of us enjoy our bill.
Right. Okay. So you're comfortable that, you know, the infrastructure needs will be funded without a huge increase in the rates?
Currently, again, like I said, go through that financial packets. If you go through and look at them, which I recommend people do if they're concerned in this area, you can see the monies coming in there and how they're going to be utilized for the aging infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
Part of that is having increased revenues because of solar too, you know, and being
right.
able to put things in utility fund, a percentage, just 1%.
Sure.
So I feel like right now, and you can see when you drive down Adams, they're replacing things
right.
that need to be replaced, and we have the things that need to be replaced most on the top of the list, and just go down.
Right. Okay. So the Historic Commission is proposing that all the owners of buildings in the historic district submit plans for any improvements or changes they want to do to the buildings to a body that will have the power to approve or deny them. Do you agree with that approach?
Well, we're all lucky to live in a place filled with like a unique story and such history. The question on how to preserve the parts of this is a really hot topic right now.
Right.
What I to be part of is the dialogue. And I don't know if you know, but that's why I asked it to be on the Historic Preservation Ad Hoc Committee.
Mm-hmm.
And I also last night asked to be on the board at the museum, at the hotel museum. Part of the reason that I asked for that is I think this is a time when we're making big decisions. And I think that those decisions need to be weighed out. And we need to listen to both sides. We need to listen to the call of our history and keeping it safe. We also need to listen to the actual property owners. And in so doing, see where we can find the good common ground. We've been blessed so far, so much of our historic district, because of the good willingness of people who live there, has been kept. There is a large portion that has not, and
uh-huh.
I do recognize that it could completely have been decimated with no regulations at all.
Right.
So it's nice that we still, I mean, I love going down to the older part of town and seeing how homeowners have kept their homes.
Sure. And they've done it voluntarily so far, but you know the danger
Absolutely.
Is if you force them to do something that you know they don't want to do. I mean, it's their property after all.
Thank you. And sometimes we forget and overregulate.
Right. Okay.
And so I'm very excited to be part of this conversation and to be in there, because I think that, like you said, it's a pivotal time.
Sure.
And decisions
right.
are made. So I'm excited to be part of the conversation.
Yes. And it's great to see you part of the museum committee as well. I really think that's one of the untold secrets of Boulder City. I really think that museum is very well done and it's not publicized enough.
Absolutely. I went and took a tour when I was running for office, and I was so impressed. What I was so impressed with was the ability for our story to be told to the young, from the youngest to the oldest. Mm-hmm. It's so accessible even for kids. You know, they can go in and get something out of it. And then the archives are fantastic there. So it's definitely a huge part of telling what we are.
Great, great. Okay, so the saga of Boulder City Airport is continuing. The second group of hangars with contracts expiring is coming up soon. And, you know, even the people that own the first group are still a little bit bitter about how that happened. Do you think we need to go back and reconsider that ending of those contracts and the city taking control of those hangars?
So, having just been in 1 month,
right.
and having heard from one side when I was running mostly and getting in and trying to get my feet wet, I will be having a tour of the airport in 2 weeks.
Okay.
And following those intricacies, I hesitate as a city to own too much and be responsible for too much, because I think that puts us, you know, at a disadvantage, to be honest.
Sure.
But I do know that we've set precedents by recalling and ending the lease on the first set. So I think, again, these are hot topic items that there needs to be kind of a common ground looked at and see how we can improve the needs of both.
Okay, great.
Because it's probably not going to be an I win and you lose.
Yeah.
It's probably going to have to be a common ground.
Yeah, I agree with that. But the city is such a potential asset for the city. You know, when they're talking about the addition of a control tower of the at the airport, where, you know, the proponents say it would increase business there, but of course it would cost more to build and staff. So, you know, again, there's a balance that we're going to have to strike.
Right, and you have to understand too that a lot of the properties and much of the funding comes from the FAA. So we would be in charge of roughly 5% of the
right.
building costs
mm-hmm.
for the tower, and then they will staff it.
Right.
So, yes, and I don't think this is a growth issue at all.
Right.
I do think it's a safety issue. Now, does it make the general aviation individuals who come in and out of there every day that aren't part of maybe, and I'm going to be meeting with the business parts down there, which I haven't done yet.
Right.
Does it make them happy, the thought of having an air control tower? I think not.
Yeah.
Most
yeah.
of them. I don't think they're very excited about that.
Right.
But I think we need to call the apple, and the orange, the orange. I don't believe that putting in a control tower is a growth issue.
Right.
I don't think it's going to cause things to grow. You would have to extend that runway. You would have to thicken that runway to get larger airplanes in here. I do think control towers simply are safety measures.
Sure.
Now, the true question is, do we need it?
Right. Then I guess we'll find that out, huh?
And I think it's, yes, we're actually putting it out for proposal right now.
Great.
So when it comes back, we'll know a little bit more.
Okay.
So.
I hope you get a chance to talk to the gentleman that runs the parachute company down there. He has some pretty interesting things about his past interactions with the city, and I think those are things we need to fix, basically. But
to look, I do know that I think they have moved to Gene, so I have
yeah,
not had
they do, and one of the reasons they moved there was because of the intransigence of the city to work with them. So I think you should talk to him.
Right. I do believe that because there are areas of concern at the airport, it's definitely a place where we need to concentrate. I'd like to see myself a full quorum of the aviation committee get back together so that we can have people in that area come and talk with council.
Yes, that would be a great opportunity for them to give their side of the business.
Yeah, I would really appreciate and like that. So this is a call for any of you interested in aviation. We have spots available on that.
Right.
Please
yeah.
put in your name for consideration.
Absolutely. So I think the strength, one of the big strengths of Boulder City is its small businesses. We have such great businesses throughout the town. I interviewed Jill Lagan one of our last podcasts, and she's doing a great job there. So do you think the city, though, is doing enough to attract and retain small businesses?
Well, Jill is fantastic, and I do believe she has our business community best interest at heart. And I see some real positive steps towards trying to support our businesses. But as with all things, I think communication is the key. And I do think that there could be more communication between the city and our local businesses. And that with that open communication, we could probably improve the areas that are lacking and hopefully head off potential problems. When I was running, one of the things that one of the business owners had brought up to me, and I'm still going to look into, is possibly having some kind of a meeting bi-monthly with community business owners and members of council or the city to be able to have that open communication.
Absolutely. Great. Another big benefit for Boulder City are the great events we have, the citywide events like Art in the Park, Spring Jamboree, the Beer Festival, that kind of thing. Should we encourage more of those things? I mean, there certainly are open weekends, you know, in the spring and the fall that would where these things would really fit.
Right. You know, I love events in our city. I honestly do, for a couple of reasons. Well, especially as COVID lightened a little for a while, it was just so nice, right, to see people out living life and enjoying being together again and experiencing the feel of a community. But they go deeper than that. I mean, a lot of them raise money to benefit things in our community, like our drug court or our hospitals. They bring microbursts of business to and expose our city, you know, to people who might not necessarily think, oh, I think I'm going to go to Boulder City.
Sure.
You know?
Right.
But once they've been here and seen it, they go, oh, I'm definitely coming back to Boulder City.
Right.
So, and again, for us as a community, it's a great way for us to get together and enjoy our city. So it gives options. I find it to be a winning combination.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No question. So the city's going to receive something like $20 million in funds from the COVID-19 pandemic distribution. How do you think this money should be used? I mean, is this something we need to also sit down and talk about, or is the city council just going to decide, you know, where the money's going?
I actually think we're going to look into it. I think it's a little over 14, and thank goodness, right?
Yeah.
And there are areas that, because of the pandemic, that have suffered. I know that in the past couple of months, and we did have a business owner, or Judy Duchesne actually last night came and said that she had a business owner communicate that it was the grant given to her that helped her to be able to retain her business.
Right.
So I think, you know, there's past monies that have been given to us, and they've employed grants to help the small businesses. So I would see that money being spent judiciously, hopefully, mm-hmm. in areas that were hardest hit. And
right.
I know that there are specifics for that money, that it must be related to consequences of
sure.
the pen.
Right.
Yep. So I think that it's going to be a big discussion.
Okay.
As always, there is public comment and public input, and my phone number is on the Boulder City, Nevada page, and I am open to phone calls.
Okay,
please
great.
Call.
Great. So during the election, I think more so during the runoff, there seemed to be a division into two factions of the city. At least some people were telling me that. I don't know whether I believe it or not, but do you believe there are two factions? And if so, where do you fall in that equation? If not, how do you think we can unify everyone to get the city to work together, everybody in the city to work together?
I think there will always be a difference of opinion on any subject. I think it's very hard to find consensus. You got 20 people in a room, you ask the question, and there's going to be different answers, and it's very hard to find consensus. What you want to find is how to find the best solution. And hopefully we would be a city that was more inclusive of ideas, and less concerned about opposite perspectives, because at a city level, the city functions best when you come together.
Sure.
It's not good when you don't come together. And I find myself in the equation as a public servant of the city. That's absolutely where I find myself. And it's going to be healthier for us to find that common ground, to work on win-win situations, like I said. And my goal is to be a consensus builder while I hear all different sides, you know, sides of the concern, I guess.
Right, right.
So I don't find myself worrying about being part of one group or another as much as being a servant.
Right, okay. Well, Sherry, you're only two meetings into this, so
yes.
Maybe a year from now we can talk, and then you'll have a different opinion. But I really appreciate you sitting down and talking to us today. It's been a pleasure talking to you. I really was impressed during your campaign. I was very pleased that you won, and let's stay in touch and continue to go back and forth, because I think your transparency and your openness to the residents of the town is going to be great, and I think you're adding to a really uplifting group of people on City Council. So congratulations and thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Roger. I really appreciate it. And I just want to say thank you to all the people for giving me this opportunity, because I feel very fortunate. And again, encourage you to please contact me if you have any questions or concerns.
Great. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it. And we will talk soon. Hope you enjoyed the Boulder City podcast. Special thanks to Boulder City Social for helping to disseminate the episodes. If you know anyone in Boulder City that might be an interesting and informative guest on the podcast, email me at rogergross@comcast.net and we'll try to get them on. Until then, we'll see you next time on the Boulder City podcast.